Hi, I'm Sean Kelly, the voice of the Gators, and welcome to the Gator Tales Podcast with Sean Kelly. This is episode number 25, and greetings from my office here inside the swamp. A busy week here on campus, as it is this time of year. Almost every week can be labeled a busy week. But there's a certain buzz about this week. Gymnastics has won their sixth straight SEC championship. The Gators men's basketball team just finished their home schedule with a thrilling win over ranked Alabama, and now gets set for the end of the regular season and next week's SEC tournament. The women's basketball team is at their SEC tournament currently and already have one win under their belt as we lay down this week's podcast. Everybody's in action right now, and spring football starts up today on campus as well. We've got you covered on that front for sure. Kenna McGinnis is back this week. Kenna on campus again recaps all the results of the last 7 to 10 days. In fact, Ask the AD with Scott Strickland this week addresses the busy time of year and how he and his staff pull off all of these home events with so many sports, not only in season, but now overlapping between winter and spring. Certainly glad to have our two feature guests this week. As I mentioned, with football starting up, time to talk Gators football again. And why not begin that conversation with returning starting quarterback Graham Mertz. Mertz will return for his second full season as a Gator and looks to lead a Gators team trying to get back on the winning side this coming next regular season. And baseball, ranked number 4th in the country, is being impacted by several transfers, including the new starting shortstop, Colby Shelton. Shelton homered again last night in a loss to Central Florida. But Shelton is in the top 4 batting average-wise and home run-wise, along with his RBI total thus far. And that immediate impact is being felt by fans and teammates alike. We get to know Colby Shelton a little bit better today as well. So, with those two feature interviews in mind, Kenna on campus and Ask the AD, let's just do it. Here comes episode number 25 of the Gator Tales Podcast with Sean Kelly. Gator Tales with Sean Kelly is presented by UF Health. UF Health has locations throughout Florida, including Gainesville, Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Leesburg, and the Villages, and we're growing. Compassionate care and world-class outcomes, that's our game plan. Visit ufhealth.org to learn more. Our podcast is also brought to you by Pet Paradise. Gator fans, for pet fanatics like you, there's only one place who goes all out for your pet the way you do. Boarding, grooming, day camp, and veterinary services all in one convenient location. Pet Paradise and New Day Veterinary Care. Finally, complete pet health care is here for Gator Nation. Graham Mertz is back. That's the news I got somewhere during the holidays, or at least it felt like the holidays, when Graham Mertz made a decision to come back for a second season at the University of Florida, and this is my first chance to visit with him since he made that decision. You're back. It seems to be big news, at least I'm told. I think it is, actually. What about you?
It's awesome. I mean, for me, I think it was like early December, so took some time after the season, still had nursing that this collarbone, so trying to figure out like what the next steps were. So a lot of different factors, but ended up deciding that my heart was still here, still wanted to finish it out the right way. So yeah, we're back.
It's interesting. I think I saw you somewhere around that time, and you said, come here, feel my, and you were pointing to your collarbone, and there was a knot there, which is kind of common for the healing of that injury. So it leads me to ask you the next question. Fully healthy, ready to go for spring football?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with this thing is like, as being a quarterback, you're not gonna get hit during spring. So for me, it's like I've been fully ready to rock this whole time, because I'm not taking a hit for what, another 5-6 months. So for me, it's mentally, physically ready to go.
Let's go back to your decision. You said you felt your heart was still here. You said unfinished business. Yeah. And then there's the NFL aspect of your career and what's to come. Did you get a draft grade at the end of the season?
Yeah, that was, there's a lot of different aspects that went into that decision. I think sitting down, getting that draft grade, talking with coach about the holistic aspect of it, like, yeah, you got your dream right in front of you, being the NFL, and then just all the different aspects of, like, what else do you want out of us? What else do you want out of this program, your college career? And for me, it was like that was fresh off the collarbone. And like I said in my post, and like you just said, unfinished business. I mean, for me, it was like, yeah, the NFL will come, but I want to finish this off the right way. And that was the thing where, like, deep down, I knew that, like, I care about this team too much. I know what this team is capable of, and I feel like it's my job to kind of get this thing rolling. So,
for your individual development, what will you be focused on that could improve that draft grade in 10 more months?
Yeah. Honestly, I just think it's – I think last year, I mean, it was – we were consistent. I think I was consistent. But I think that for me, it's being able to – I feel like when you go back and watch the tape, there are a lot of times where I'd extend plays and get out on the run. And for me, I think it's really developing as having that pocket presence, moving a little bit, staying in there, and taking those shots downfield that were there. So for me, it's pushing the ball downfield, making explosive plays, and also being extremely consistent in what I'm doing. So yeah, I mean, and winning. I think that's the main driver in all of this. Is I just want to win, man.
Okay. Well, that's the perfect lead into my next question. There's still the fun aspect of playing this game.
Oh yeah.
The winning ties into that, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, yeah. Winning's the being in the locker room after a win with your boys and your coaches and everybody that was a part of it. I mean, that's why you play the game. That's why you prep for what, 8-9 months just to go play and go win and compete. So, yeah, that's definitely a fun aspect of it. But for me, it's every day waking up, being able to do this is a blast. And I was like, you know what, I'd love to come back for another year. So that was kind of my. That was the whole experience of my decision.
Did your relationship with Billy Napier factor into this decision?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, ever since I got here last year, I mean, they've been completely upfront with me, completely honest, and they've been coaching me hard. They want me to develop underneath them, and that's one thing that, for me, I knew that I was developing when I was here. I was seeing progress. I was seeing things that they were doing for me that were different to push me. And that was the thing where in the decision, I was like, I want to come back, but I want to be coached hard. And that was the thing that, I mean, Coach Napier, Coach O'Hara, they've been doing that from the jump since we got back.
Is there a chemistry? Is that the right word for you guys, the two of you together?
Yeah, I mean, the other aspect, I'm sure you're going to ask me about this, but the microphone and the helmet. And for us, it's been, it's a cool aspect because when you go through a season without a microphone and a helmet, you learn to kind of understand what he's thinking throughout a game.
So I know you guys have been experimenting with this, and spring football is still to come, let alone August camp, but are you starting to hear Coach Napier's voice in your head now at odd times of the day and night with him in your speaker all the time?
Not too much. I mean, I get I try to have that when I'm on the field, and then when I get off, I'm like, you know what? I can do without that for a little bit.
Will it change the way you operate as a player, or maybe even you collectively as an offense?
Yeah, I think across the board, being able to dictate tempo is a big part of it. Understanding and getting everybody on the same page is also a big part of it. Like in the middle of a game, if something goes wrong and then normally you're out there, everybody's looking for a signal, you bring everybody in the huddle. I mean, I love the huddle. I grew up in the Wisconsin offense, in the huddle every play. You get a read, you get a pulse on the guys, what they're thinking, how they're maneuvering, and you can see it in their eyes. So for me, it's a great way to just, in an environment where it's like crazy, like say you're in an away game and the environment's crazy and you got a young guy that's kind of like, ooh, like I don't know what's going on. You get him in the huddle, you just be like, you know what, dude, like it's okay. So that's why I love the huddle, switching up tempo. You can go super fast. You can go slower if you need to. I think also in like you think about like a 2-minute situation, being able to have that communication with the play caller, really just those little reminders like, hey, pass the sticks or by the sideline, like just little things like that on reminders and keys that I think will help in play.
With regard to new players, and I'm probably going to be off by a couple, but the last check I had was like 30 some new players on this football team. How do you think this team is different? And I know we have a long way to go until the new season, but how and in what ways is this team different than the one that you operated with this past fall?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the interesting things is last fall we had a lot of young guys that played. Now they have that experience. And then you think about the transfers we brought in. It was a lot of guys with game experience And they're kind of bringing the knowledge they had from their previous school. So it's a great combination of guys with experience that are older and young guys that were kind of like, you got to play, man. Yeah. And you got to strap it up and go hit something. So it's that combination of guys that they both feel the urgency because you got the old guys that played a lot in a new spot, got to learn. Yeah. And you got the young guys that are like, I did this way last year and it didn't work out. So now I have that urgency that I need to be better. I need to hold myself accountable. So I think that, I mean, across the board, you just see a higher level of player accountability and guys owning their role and mastering their role, which is really special.
One of those new guys is this young quarterback, the Gatorade Player of the Year, DJ Lagway. What should I know about him here initially? And what should I know about the relationship that you two have here moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, DJ's a great kid. I mean, from the second he got here, and even before that, I mean, he was always asking questions, always trying to learn, always pushing himself to grow. And I think that's special at a young age. And I mean, also, he's just extremely talented. Like, when he first got here, we'd throw and have throwing sessions, and I was like, okay. Like, I was like, all right, DJ. And ever since then, I mean, in the meeting room, he's always asking the right questions. He's pushing himself. Yeah, it's your first semester in college. You're trying to learn an offense. It can be a lot sometimes. Yeah. But I think he's doing a good job of staying present, taking sometimes you take a few steps forward, then you take one back. But you're always going forward. And I think he has that perspective of like, look, early, like right when I got here, I might have made a few mistakes, but I'm not going to make them again. And then he has that hunger that you need, especially as a quarterback. So he's done a great job.
Yeah.
And I'd say as far as our relationship, it's awesome. I mean, I feel like anytime he has a question, I can always help him out. We just joke around a bunch, but I'm looking forward to spring. It'll be really fun.
Yeah. Are you teacher? Are you mentor? Are you big brother? Which label there maybe fits you at this moment?
I think it's a combo of all three.
Okay.
Whatever's necessary at the time. But yeah, I mean, I think especially when you come into college, having an older guy in that room, in your room, regardless of position, it definitely helps kind of keeping things in perspective and knowing that, look, it's like, yeah, we're playing football, but this is also like a big change in your life that you got to be prepared for. So
the spring practice session starts this week. What's the message coming from Coach Napier for you guys as to what he would like to see you all accomplish over the next 6 weeks?
Yeah. I think it's simple, and I mean, he hasn't gone out and said this, but it's kind of what I've gotten from him and what I've been pushing on the guys, and it's, like I said earlier, having a sense of urgency in everything you do and then finishing everything you do. I mean, you look back at last year, shoot, there were probably, what, 3-4 games that we just flat out did not finish. I mean, you look at LSU, mm-hmm. We had the lead. Mizzou, same thing. Arkansas, same thing. Like, all these games that in the SEC you need to finish, and that's been the theme in the weight room, on the field with conditioning, and all these different things you've been doing. It's how hard can you finish? And that's been the focus for all of us.
There are a lot of misconceptions out there. There are a lot of beliefs out there, some true, some not, whatever. Graham, I don't know how much you follow what the Gators are talked about in social media, the regular media, or anything else. Is there a misconception? Is there something about this team that you have this chance here with me to maybe dispel in some ways? Do you kind of know what I'm asking here?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, especially in the world we live in today, I mean, social media drives everything. And like the guys in that locker room, I don't look at it, nor do I care about it.
Yeah.
But I know there's young guys in there that they do see it, and it does piss them off a little bit. So, like, there's always little reminders, like, look, everybody thinks we're going to lose every game next year. Like, just keep that in the back of your head. Like,
yeah.
We haven't even snapped the ball yet. Everybody thinks you're going to lose every game. Like, that doesn't really get under your skin a little bit and make you want to go beat every single team on that schedule. Like, yeah, we got the hardest schedule in college football, apparently. Like, we'll see when the ball gets snapped. We'll see.
I like the way you point us in the right direction on that. Graham, you knew what it was like to be the quarterback at Wisconsin and in the Big Ten. What did you learn over the last year about being the quarterback at Florida in the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different experience. I think at Wisconsin, I mean, we obviously had a lot of great quarterbacks that came through there, like Russell Wilson and all these guys. But the one thing I've learned is Florida, the history of the quarterback position is special, and the guys care. I mean, I woke up to a text from Danny today. Like, what are you doing Friday? Let's meet up and talk.
Danny Werfel.
Yeah. And for me, that's just so special, knowing that they care so much about the current guys that, I mean, it's like a quarterback fraternity. And that's one thing that when my time's done here, I'd love to carry on that and meet with guys and whatever I can do to help the future of this program. I mean, I'd love to do it. So for me, it's understanding that the guys that came through before me, I mean, I owe it to them to give it everything I got. And I mean, I felt that at Wisconsin too, but now it's like, before the Tennessee game, I'm talking to Tim Tebow. like it's just crazy.
it's surreal at times.
Yeah,
that's
a
good way to put it. Yes. Oh, yeah. All right, let me ask you a quick football thing and then we'll wrap up here. You obviously have intimate contact with your receivers, mm-hmm. your tight ends, your offensive line, running backs. When you kind of look at the spring a little bit football-wise, do you have question marks that you're eager to get answered about all those position groups? What things also maybe have you very excited about what you'll be working with here coming up?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say really question marks. I mean, I think the biggest thing for us is, like, yeah, we got a lot of moving pieces, but we do have a lot of production returning. I think that's one thing where for us it's like, I always think of the spring as like you hit the ground running and you're learning as you're going with that group. And honestly, you're prepping for the season. I feel like sometimes you get into spring, you're like, we got to be perfect. And it's like, no, this is part of the process. We're getting a little bit better every day. And all those question marks will be answered when the time comes. Mm-hmm. But they don't need to be answered right now. Yeah. I think across the board, I mean, I'm excited for each group. I think that we got a bunch of young guys that are talented, but transfers that are good. So for me, honestly, I just can't wait to practice.
Yeah.
I tell Coach Nate that every day. I'm like, I just cannot wait to put on a helmet, go out there and hear the periods whistle, 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 and go through the whole thing. Like, cannot wait.
Graham Mertz, the wait is over. Spring football is here. A new process begins. Thanks as always. And we're all excited to see how you progress here in your second year as a Florida Gator.
Mm. Go Gators.
We continue on the Gator Tales podcast with the shortstop for the Florida Gators, Colby Shelton, who is new to this program in some sense. He's been here, obviously, through the offseason workouts, and now the season is underway. But first year with the Florida Gators after transferring from Alabama. Colby, it's been great to start to get to know you a little bit. I do want to ask you initially, why Florida? Why did you choose to come to Gainesville, Florida?
I chose to come to Gainesville, Florida for many reasons. First off, the great baseball program that's here, the culture they have, it's a winning program, and I wanted to go to a place where I had an opportunity to win a national championship and go to Omaha.
Your first year at Alabama, pretty good, All-American. So are you able to translate that success of that season into this one?
Yeah, I would just say it gives me more confidence coming into this year, just more confidence back up my play, and help me have more success on the field.
I got to see you from afar last year. You did fine. You did great. You were a third baseman. Now you're a shortstop. What's that transition been like?
That transition hasn't been too hard. Growing up, travel ball and stuff, high school, I played shortstop all throughout the amateur ranks in high school and stuff. But coming here, working with Coach Rolliman, our infield coach, he's made it that transition a lot easier just with the new skill set and other things I have to focus on at shortstop that's different than third, but Coach Drollman's done a great job with me working on feet, positioning, internal clock, and a bunch of other stuff that goes in the game that's made the transition pretty smooth.
Is the game hard in your eyes?
I mean, there's definitely hard. It is a hard game, don't get me wrong. You mean, in baseball, you fail more than you succeed, and that's probably the hardest part is learning how to deal with the failure because I mean, you're going to fail defense, you're going to fail hitting. I mean, people say that if you fail 3 times out of 10 when you're hitting, you're a Hall of Famer, and that's 70% failure. So learning how to deal with failure is one of the hardest parts of this game.
Was the transfer process for you stressful, enjoyable? How would you describe it?
The transfer process, I would say it was a little bit stressful just because after coming off a great year, there's universities all out through America just blowing up your phone. That's nonstop. The transfer portal is crazy. These universities want to do whatever they can to get you to their school. But once I narrowed the list down to different schools, the process was just, it was kind of easy, just knowing where I grew up and stuff and making a decision where I wanted to go.
You grew up in the Tampa area, so obviously you're familiar with the Florida Gators. When you were coming out of high school, was there an initial thought, maybe I should go to Florida? How did you get to Alabama? I'm kind of working in reverse here. I understand that.
So, yeah, in high school, I was actually at one point committed to Clemson University. They had, in my junior or senior year of high school, they had a coaching change, so I decommitted from there. And then Florida recruited me in high school, great program. Just at the time, I thought the University of Alabama was a better fit for me to get on the field right away and help out their program. But I'm more than happy to be here at this great program. It's had nothing but great things for me, and it's been a blast so far.
Each team, each year, has their own identity, their own culture. I mean, some things are mainstays, right? This is who the Florida Gators are. This is the kind of player they recruit, all those things. But if we're specific about this year's team, Colby, what have you noticed about its identity or the culture that you've stepped into here?
Yeah, I would say this group this year, just my second year in college, this group's really tight. Everyone gets along. Everyone really wants to win. But this team's different than most. Like, this is one of the youngest teams I've ever been a part of. And, like, there's a bunch of new faces. I remember in the fall, I want to say there's only, like, 12 returners from last year's Florida team and then 25-plus new faces here. So it's been an eye-opening experience just to see how, like, all the new guys got brought into the program and how the older guys help us navigate through stuff through the year. And I think we're still trying to figure out our identity right now, just as early on it is and young we are. But I think as we keep going, and I think people can see now that we've played 11 games, how we've gotten progressed better each week and week.
Colby, one thing I've noticed about you is the power that you hit with. In fact, I try to make a point to be at every batting practice I can get, because whether it's you or Jack Caglione or Brody or Luke Heyman, and I can go down the line here, batting practice with you guys is loud. Mm-hmm. Is it a competitive batting practice for you guys at times?
At times, definitely. I mean, hitting with Jack every day, Brody, Luke Heyman. There's a bunch of guys on the team that have a lot of power. But for me, like, Jack and Brody have some of the most power I've ever seen in batting practice. And I'm a smaller guy, no doubt about that. So, like, I try to compete with them, but I know at the end of the day they're going to hit the ball farther than me, so I kind of just have to stick to my approach so I can go in the game ready, like working for what I want to work with and not lose sight of things in my swing.
You mentioned your physical stature. Have you always hit bombs, or did this come on when?
I mean, in high school, I mean, I've hit home runs, but not hit home runs like I now do in college, like a couple, three, four, five in a year, not 20-plus. But I think it just has to do just making swing changes throughout the college career, adjustments, seeing better pitching, and then like the pitchers now can kind of supply more power with their stuff and makes it easier when the pitcher's around the plate. But like going up to the plate with an approach of what I'm looking for, what the pitcher may do, and then just having a focus of how I'm going to attack my plan.
Educate me more about your approach, because I'm curious. Do you go up there as a power hitter? Do you see yourself as a power hitter?
I mean, I don't go up to the plate as, like, I'm going to hit, like, I'm a home run hitter. I try to, like, focus on low line drives in the gap. And then once I get in the game, like, those low line drives from batting practice or whatever will translate to doubles in the gap or home runs over the fence. So, like, for batting practice, I try to really stay, like, low line drives. And then as the game comes along, everything's going to speed up. And those low line drives ultimately in the game with the pitcher, the velo and stuff, will supply, like, will come with the getting the ball in air and okay, getting out of the yard.
Statistically, you're off to a great start. Is this what you expected?
No doubt. Just as a competitive kid as I am, I always have high expectations for myself, and I think I'm in a good spot right now.
You mentioned travel ball when you were younger. What else did you participate in as you were growing up?
I did a lot of things growing up. So I come from a really athletic, competitive family. I did basketball all the way through middle school, but I did swimming in middle school as well. But really, most of my focus growing up has been baseball. I come from a family where my dad played college baseball. My grandpa played baseball at UConn. My mom played softball at University of North Carolina at Charlotte as well. So I kind of say that it kind of runs in our blood, just baseball, anything baseball, softball, yeah.
Those are all the conversations around the dinner table or when you get to go back home?
No doubt, yeah. I mean, growing up, I also have two other sisters that play Division I softball, and we, in high school, we, like a WWE championship, but we have one of those at the house, and we'd always do, like, hitter of the week and, like, do a big ceremony. So, like, in high school games, like, for the week, we would present, like, the hitter of the week with the championship belt. So, growing up, there was a lot of smack talking, no doubt about that, but it's just really cool how we could all compete against each other in the house with my two sisters.
Okay, so there was a ceremony in the house amongst you, your siblings. Who? How does the ceremony work? What's the format?
So the WWE Championship belt, it would be Sunday or Monday night to start, or the end of the week, and we just come in the living room. Whoever won the belt from the week prior, bring it down from the room and then set it in the living room, and then dad or mom would just like present the championship belt to the new hitter of the week.
How many times did you win the belt, or did one of your sisters own the belt more?
I mean,
be honest.
I mean, my sisters are really good. I mean, no doubt. I had the belt at some times, and then for the most part, the sisters were always really competitive and swing it well, and they'd have the belt for a good chunk of the time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. See, I was hoping the truth would come out in our conversation. What else did you all compete at? Board games? What else was on the table for you all?
We would compete at anything and everything, whether board games, just playing in the yard, when we go out anywhere, just anything that we can. We just make it into competition, no matter what the game was or the situation or where we were at in anywhere.
There's a lot to life. So what else do you do outside of baseball? And we'll get to your studies in a moment. But what's downtime for Colby Shelton?
When I can, I like going out the pool, hanging out with friends, and then fishing, golf as well. Get out on golf course and have a good time with a bunch of guys.
Who's the best golfer on this baseball team?
Oh, I would say Ryan Slater or Tyler Shelnut.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to just name pitchers because they're the ones that seemingly have all the time to work on their on their game.
Cade Fisher's not bad as well. Cade Fisher, his girlfriend also plays Division I golf, and I know Cade plays golf with her a lot, and he's pretty good at it. He's pretty good.
All right, so you gave me two pitchers and two position guys, you and Tyler Shelnut. So, okay, great. You want to tell me your handicap here? Do you have one?
Oh, not good.
It can't be as bad as mine, so.
My golf game's not good. I would, like, hundreds. I'm not a good golfer.
All right, but you're having fun doing it.
Yeah, I'm having fun doing it. I want to get better as I get older. It's just a fun game to go out and play and enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. When it comes to school, what are you most comfortable with? You told me earlier you're a sport management major. You're probably early on still in your coursework. What are you currently taking? What's enjoyable? What's the struggle?
Currently, right now, I'm taking public speaking, management, and some other elective classes. But the one class I enjoy the most right now is public speaking. Just because, like, not every day you don't get to talk in front of people and put yourself in a challenging situation. And, like, being a college kid, yeah, it's challenging to go up and talk in front of a couple hundred people. It's not something you do every day, and it's good practice down for later in life. But I would say growing up, one of my favorite subjects was math. I just like really into the problem solving and like wanting to get to the end of the question, figure out the answer.
Are you a big analytics guy? Because it's all over our sport in baseball, and you love math. So do you dive into the analytics a little bit?
I try to stay away from the analytics and just focus more on the game.
Okay. And yet I'm puzzled by the public speaking, not fear, but discomfort, because you play in front of thousands of people every weekend. How is that different?
It's no different. I mean, it's different a little. I mean, I guess I'm not talking in front of the thousands of people at the game. Yeah. I'm just playing a game that I've been playing my whole life, so I'm a little more comfortable around it. But I don't know, public speaking is just different because you're talking and front of a bunch of people that you don't really know. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite player growing up, Colby?
One of my favorite players to watch is Corey Seager. Growing up, just because he's similar. I would say he's similar to me. He plays shortstop, left-handed hitter, and he's damn good.
He's very good. Is there a favorite team that I should be aware of?
Growing up, I've been a Mets fan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know that sounds a little weird, but my dad growing up was a Mets fan, so he kind of brainwashed me into being a Mets fan, and yeah.
Former Gator Pete Alonso, also a New York Met, came and visited with you all. How was that experience for you, being a big Mets fan?
Oh, it was cool. Just, I mean, being around Pete Alonso, he played here. He's a great player. He's had a great career so far. It was just cool getting introduced myself to Pete and learning more of his perspective about Gator baseball program and then what it's like to be a New York Met.
You look good in orange and blue. I'm glad you're here. I hope you are too.
Yeah, it's been nothing but a pleasure to be here in orange and blue.
Colby Shelton, go Gators.
Go Gators.
Time now for Ask the AD, back in Scott Strickland's office, Director of Athletics. Scott, great to see you again. The weather's turned towards spring, and it's a busy time around campus. Perfect time to bring up one of our latest submissions, which you, frankly, recognized how crazy it is during February and March, notably, with the number of teams that are in season right now. And then this actually came up this past weekend, where women's tennis was in action somewhere, but at home it was softball playing at the same time as baseball, coming off the heels of an afternoon men's basketball game and a Friday night gymnastics meet. And so really the submission is frankly this: what are the challenges on you and your staff this time of year with having not only all these teams in session, but so many home events happening seemingly simultaneously or within hours of each other?
Well, it's one of the special things about being a part of a university setting, and it's what makes college athletics different than pro sports is, the Gators don't just play one sport. We have 21 sports, and they have all 21 have a following to a certain degree. And so you mentioned, gymnastics will have a capacity crowd on a Friday night. At the same time, there's, several thousand people over at softball and baseball, and it's not unusual to have a tennis match going on at the same time. We hosted the men's golf invitational a couple weeks ago, and the women's coming up here. So there's, you're right, there's a lot of overlap. We're incredibly blessed to have an unbelievable staff that, typically the way it works is different areas of expertise, whether it's people in operations who run the game management, or our communications staff, our marketing staff, what have you, will be assigned a certain sport, and they ride with that sport throughout the year. So the same person from operations is managing what goes on at KDC Shoal Presley Stadium for softball games all year. And so you have a level of consistency there, and they're not also being asked to work the basketball game or the baseball game. They are dedicated to softball. You have the same thing across all the different sports, and that requires a lot of staffing. And so we're blessed to have talented people, and we have a lot of them. And you have to have that in order to host the hundreds of events, especially considering that a majority of those events take place in the springtime.
My follow-up would be, do you like when you have this many events, say, in one weekend? Do you get any counsel from the conference, or is there some recognition that there are only so many parking spaces, there are only so many bodies that can help pull these things off?
Yeah, there's it is fun to host a lot of events, and you end up seeing a lot of Gator Nation members at multiple events, right? You'll see somebody at the baseball game on Friday, and they'll be at the basketball game on Saturday and the tennis match on Sunday. And so I do think that cross-pollination is helpful. It's fun, creates a great energy. Every school has a level of this, and there's an expectation. There is, it is as we have populated the southwest part of campus. Used to be just softball, and then lacrosse, soccer, and now baseball. People are always trying to figure out the best traffic pattern, the best parking situation, whether on the core campus or on the southwest part of campus. You wish you could give everybody front row parking, and there's just and a seat right behind home plate or right at midfield or center court. It doesn't work that way, obviously, in reality, but. We try to do a lot of things to communicate to people. I always find that if you communicate where the opportunities are, right? You know, the Fifield parking lot over in the southwest part of campus is accessible to both football and basketball, baseball. There's obviously a lot of shuttles and buses we run during certain times of the year to try to help people get around. And people are really patient, and that's greatly appreciated because ultimately we all want to show up and support our Gators.
Scott, thanks. And I know you're getting your steps in going to all these events. You're always there supporting each of our Gator teams. Thank you.
Go Gators. Thank you, Sean.
Our last order of business this week, Kenna on Campus. Our student worker Kenna McGinnis is back with all the results from our Gators teams.
Thanks, Sean. Let's get into it. On Sunday, number 5 Florida Gymnastics won at number 6 Kentucky for sole possession of their 6th consecutive SEC regular season title. This success earned Gators Athletics their 265th Southeastern Conference Championship across all programs. And once again, Anya Pilgrim was SEC Freshman of the Week. 12 Gators from the number 4 men's and number 3 women's swimming and diving teams spent last Friday and Saturday at the Last Chance Meet Invitational at Auburn University. Last Chance Meets are exactly what they sound like. They're held after conference championships to give swimmers that are on the edge of NCAA qualification one last opportunity to improve times and odds in selection. Florida now shifts its focus to the NCAA championships at the end of March. In Gators golf news, the women's team finished 3rd at the Gators Invitational at Mark Bostic Golf Course this Sunday. Not only was this Florida's 5th top 3 finish of the season, the Gators have placed top 7 in all 7 tournaments. This weekend marked Maisie Filler's 5th top 10 of the season and 5th consecutive top 10 at that. Gators lacrosse had a winning week. On Sunday, they defeated the Sun Devils away at Arizona State 22-6. And on Wednesday, 11th-ranked Florida earned their 4th straight victory after winning over UC Davis 21-7. Sunday's matchup marked the first time they scored more than 20 goals in back-to-back games since 2015. Clearly, since Wednesday, the streak continues. Following Saturday's 82-76 loss to South Carolina, the men's basketball team put on a show at the last home game of the year on Tuesday. The Gators crushed Alabama 105-87, sounding off a successful senior night in front of over 11,000 fans. The women's team unfortunately lost away at Auburn on Sunday 77-74. Away at the SEC tournament on Wednesday, however, they beat Missouri 66-60. On Friday, 13th-ranked Florida softball shut out the 18th-ranked UCLA Bruins, beating them 1-0. They finished out the day with a 12-0 win over the DePaul Blue Demons. On Saturday, the final day of the Judy Garland Classic, they fell to Michigan 10-2. The Gators look ahead to SEC opening weekend away at number 10 Alabama this upcoming Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Last weekend, the number 4 Gators baseball team brought home a series victory from Miami. Their matchup against Florida Atlantic has been rescheduled for April 30th, leaving Wednesday's home game against UCF the last report. Florida was defeated by UCF at the Condren Family Ballpark with a final score of 9-6. The Gators tennis teams both faced SEC opponents this weekend. Women's tennis split their weekend with a 4-0 win over LSU in Baton Rouge and a 4-3 loss against Texas A&M in College Station. The men's team won both matches on Friday and Saturday with a 4-0 sweep over the number 12 Texas A&M and a 4-1 win over number 25 LSU. Head coach Adam Seinberg was beaming after this weekend, noting nothing but pride for his players.
Yeah, I mean, incredible heart. And, you know, our doubles has improved so much. It's been a big bright spot for us. And just for these guys to have this feeling is pretty special. They've been going through a tough first two months. I think they got hit hard with college tennis, a lot of the freshmen, and for them to have this feeling, the first SEC match, it couldn't have worked out better for us. And I'm happy for every guy in the team because they deserve it. They've been working their butt off. They care a lot, and I wanted them to have this feeling so badly. So just really happy for all of them.
That's all, Gator fans. This has been Kenna on Campus. I'm Kenna McGinnis.
Thank you, Kenna, and that's a wrap. Episode number 25 of the Gator Tales podcast with Sean Kelly. Big thanks to all my guests today, Colby Shelton, Graham Mertz, Athletic Director Scott Strickland, and Kenna McGinnis, too. I hope that you'll hit that subscribe button so this podcast is delivered to you on a timely basis. Kindly leave a review if you don't mind, and you can always offer your feedback to me on my email, seank@gators.ufl.edu. As always, we thank our sponsors, Pet Paradise, and our presenting sponsor, UF Health. Help us pass the word, and we'll see you next time with another batch of great guests as we continue through this busy, busy time in the Gators athletics calendar year. Until next time, I'm Sean Kelly, and as always, go Gators!